What made you get into this field that I don't see a lot of Samoans? I guess it's politics side, you know, as a sitting council. I mean, how did that all come about?
I became elected onto our school board in 2015, first appointed, wow. And then I ran to keep the seat. And then I was reelected my last round in 2020. But I'm jumping into the fire and leaning in to look at a city council seat. And if elected, I will be the first female Pacific Islander to serve in that seat in the state of California.
That is so awesome. What made you decide to take on that fire? That's some serious stuff there, you know?
I think we do it already. I think as Samoans, we're already immersed in a level of leadership. So for me, I think that we're so entrenched in the Samoa culture. We're already doing it. It comes naturally to us. And that level of leadership is, it's just innate qualities that we know a level of respect is in place, recognizing a level of hierarchy through our elders and through our matais. And that's the same structures that we look at when we're looking at government systems. And so if you become part of those systems, you navigate and you learn how those circles move. And it's very, very similar to our Fa Samoa.
First of all, I don't even know what is the purpose of a council. I'm straight up a coconut. I'm sorry. Like, what is that position?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the position that I currently sit in. So I was elected in 2015, and there are only five that have been elected in the state of California, five Pacific Islanders, and have been elected to a seat in different levels of leadership. And so for me, I ran for school board because I was already involved in all of my kids' schooling, heavily involved in the PTA. But I think one of the biggest highlights for me as a school board member was assisting our superintendent of public instruction at the state level, Superintendent Tony Thurman, to ensure that we see ethnic studies and really to promote books that are about us in our classrooms, in learning circles and institutions. So those are things that mean something to me. And so when you want to make something happen, you have to look at the seats and the leadership that require for you to sit in to impact the change that you want to see. So I knew very clearly that if I wanted to see that change in the schools that my kids go to, and many of the kids that I believe in, I had to sit in that seat, and I ran for it and have been in it for 10 years. But the council is a different level of leadership. Those are individuals who oversee a city, a local entity, a local municipality. So to me, I'm already stepping into that circle and wanting to sit in that seat, and already knowing the job well, at least for the 10 years I've been sitting on the school board, instituting policies. I wrote a climate justice resolution. It's the only climate justice resolution in my county. And I authored that as a school board trustee. And also with my colleagues on the board, we are the only elementary school district in our county that has workforce housing. We were losing teachers. So we wanted to make sure we could build housing to recruit and retain, you know, quality educators and staff. So as I exit this year off the school board, I won't be running for reelection, but those are things that have just really resonated deep in my soul. So that's a little bit of a snapshot of what it looks like to enter into these seats of leadership.
Is that something that mom or dad taught you, or that was just, you know, like you said, you see, you need a change, you know, you got kids, you want things, you know, to where it can cater to our children, and you went ahead and found the right, position and went ahead and did that.
I will say our churches, we know that our churches, when our Samoans first immigrated to America, our churches were our villages. So I learned public speaking through church. You know, when we have local kameki, when we have Easter, we're reciting, you know, Bible verses, or you're chosen to pray, or you're chosen to do the launga. I found a level of comfort in speaking in front of large crowds because of church.
That's where the confidence came from.
Yeah, that's where the confidence was built, and it was built in a safe space. So, and then of course, you know, my mom, as I mentioned, my dad for me was my first exposure to being a humanitarian. he was always helping people in need. He would see someone walking, an elderly person, he'd load them up in the car. And that was at a young age. He would make sure that if he saw someone hungry, he fed them, you know, and those qualities or those actions and behaviors, very natural. Once again, very natural to us as Samoans and as Samoans and Pacific Islanders. So for me, my parents modeled that. And then there were a lot of role models in my community growing up in San Francisco and in my family that were wonderful examples for me to be able to gravitate and easily find my way in this space.
I see that you have a few programs that you were involved in that you were part of, and that now it's going on. I think I've seen one of them was the Yi or the Yay.
I'm proud of me as well. So many moons ago, I'm born and raised in San Francisco, as I mentioned, but yeah. I worked for Mayor Willie Brown. He was the first African-American mayor and also the first African-American speaker of the House in California. But under many mayors before him, they established a program called MyEAP. So it's the Mayor's Youth Employment Program. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have anything like that in my city or my county. And so when I got on the board, several of my colleagues, we were talking about, we need to make sure that we can create programs for our youth during the summer to have a job and get paid. And so, you know, we worked hard on that. The pandemic hit. We got together. We raised some money with some folks that were really interested in supporting this initiative. And so Yi was created. So myself with two other board colleagues were founding members of that initiative and super proud because our organization also has Polynesian kids that were able to participate in the inaugural summer, which was last year, to be able to get compensated while also learning a trade or a business and building their skills.
You know what, Fo? Me being a coconut, why does it matter? Why does it matter to take a stand to even like in these positions? It's kind of like that shut up and dribble kind of thing. You know, our polys are kind of used to that, you know, to just take orders and kind of just go about our way and be humble about things. All right, why all this matters to be in these seats, you know what I'm saying, for change, instead of us just like, I don't want to vote. Because, you know, a lot of times, a lot of our polys don't want to end up voting because we feel like there ain't no change. So,
I mean, representation matters for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. For me, as a woman of color, for me, as an older woman now, as I've become a senior citizen, you know, and for me, being an elected official, these are all spaces that we don't see ourselves in.
No.
And so when I see a young brown girl, and this has happened to me multiple times, and I'm grateful for these experiences, when they see me speaking at a conference or on a panel or on a podcast like tonight, and they hear me tell my story, it lights a fire in them like others before me have lit a fire in me. Yeah. I grew up not seeing anyone that looked like me, you know, in a seat of leadership, not at all. And so the leaders that I had inspire me were in my village. But, you know, we're in a new time and now we have elected officials that look like us, that come from our villages, that come from our community. And that inspires young emerging leaders and even some who have newfound sense of like liberation to say, you know what? You can never put, you know, an expiration date on you wanting to do something that benefits not just yourself, but others. And so I encourage everyone, you want to run for office. My motto has always continued to be that my experience is our experience. Whatever knowledge or wisdom that I've been able to receive to sit in these seats, I want to make sure that it transfers, leaves me and transfers over to the next generation and anyone else that sees themselves being a leader in these spaces. So that's why representation is key. It's not something we should be holding on to. It's something that we should be sharing and sharing freely.
I am the part of the residents of Daly City. What is your message to us? Because you're running for it.
Let me be your voice. Just let me be your voice. I am an authentic voice of the people. I believe in the people and the power of people, that we have the opportunity to create change. But change is not made alone. It's a collective effort that I can't stand just on the heels of folks. I need to be able to walk through these spaces hand in hand with folks. And I'm all about the work. You can find me in the trenches. You can find me on the mic to make sure that when something needs to be said, when changes need to be had, that I will be at the front leading and walking side by side with the people of the community. And there's people power everywhere. We just got to be willing to make the changes that we want to see. And that takes courage. And I sit in it and I own it and I own my truth and that level of confidence. So let me be your voice is what I say.